Hey, and welcome to Tomorrow. I'm your host, Joshua Topolsky. Today on the podcast, we discuss agekin, dongles, and snake handling. I don't want to waste 1 minute, so let's get right into it. My guest today is one of my favorite people to have on this show and also one of my favorite people in the world. He is a great writer. I believe he has coded before. I don't know all the details on that. He loves talking. He has his own podcast, the name of which I can't think of at this moment. I'm, of course, talking about the great, the wonderful, the mysterious Paul Ford.
Good to be back on the program, Josh. Oh,
thank you. What is the name of your podcast?
The name of my podcast is Track Changes.
Track Changes, which is, of course, a reference to the concept of tracking changes
in a word
in software, software development. No, in a word processor.
It's a corporate
podcast.
It's
a word by Microsoft Word.
If you
Word by Microsoft.
If you search for Track Changes podcast, you're going to find it out
just
there.
Just look it up. It's a under the tech category.
It's probably definitely under the tech category. A little bit of entrepreneurship. It's myself and my business co-founder Rich Ziade.
Rin, great. He's also a great guy. Wonderful, beautiful voice. Actually.
Great guy. Yeah. No, and, we do a beautiful job together.
And I think it's a real special kind of podcast.
It's good to have one good podcast about technology.
I'm getting it's. You know, when you guys started doing it, I was like, it's finally someone's finally doing a show about entrepreneurship and technology.
A podcast, yeah.
It's about time.
Yeah.
Someone stepped up to the mic and just got in there.
Yeah.
Anyhow, so that's your plug for the podcast.
It was.
Now, as you know,
you'll have to come on sometime.
I would absolutely love to come on. You actually invited me. In the interest of transparency, since we're in an election season, I was invited. I had to cancel.
We made no bones about it. Can I say how much I appreciate having seltzer during a recording?
It's a wonderful thing to have. It's Argo Studios where we record.
It just makes water feel provides, like garbage. Like I've been drinking sewage at podcast recordings up until now.
I'm sorry. Water is it's what you drink in a desperate situation where you're dying, you're dehydrated.
Yeah.
And there's no seltzer.
Well, your body has an urgent need for carbon. And that's why you need to drink carbonated beverages.
Your body needs bubbles.
It does.
That's a great ad for us. So how does it say your body needs bubbles?
Yeah, it's true. It feels very Lender's
Bagels. Give your body what it needs.
Give your body bubbles.
Stop denying your body the things that it wants.
That's like $600,000 of work we just did there for the seltzer industry.
Put the bubbles inside of your body.
No, it's give your body bubbles.
Put the bubbles in there.
Yeah, these are all good taglines that you throw out, and then you're like, but guys, wait a minute.
Brainstorm.
Give your body bubbles.
Oh, yeah, give your body bubbles. Give your body bubbles.
Oh, jeez.
Body bubbles.
The key thing is to make it seem like you just came up with it. Like, I'm almost embarrassed to admit this.
Yeah, or to actually seem like, you think maybe it's not that great of an idea. You're like, I don't know, maybe this is kind of stupid.
You know what I'm saying here? But I'm wondering what our audience...
Give your body bubbles? I'm just throwing it out
there. When our audience thinks of the seltzer industry all there at the table, what do they see?
LaCroix.
I mean, first off, I don't want to even, I'm so fucking sick of LaCroix.
Can we talk
about it? No, I'm sorry, but listen, LaCroix is...
It's like a spree.
It's mediocre seltzer. As a seltzer, it's very mediocre, in my opinion.
It doesn't have the punch of a real seltzer.
It doesn't hurt when you drink it.
49 cents grocery seltzer.
I actually was just having a Twitter conversation among several people in the media industry.
Oh, cool.
As we're wont to do.
Oh, cool. Talk about your Twitter conversation.
It's right now, Twitter now is only, at this point, it's just people in the media industry and the alt-right. That's all that exists on Twitter.
One is verified and the other is eggs.
They deserve each other.
One is completely verified. The other is not verified
at all. This is cool. On a tech podcast, let's talk about a Twitter conversation.
Anyhow, we were talking about, somebody asked me to name asked me to name the best seltzer and why. I named, it's very hard to just say the best seltzer because seltzer comes in many forms. So I said Gomberg / Brooklyn Delivery Seltzer, which is from Gomberg. Sure. That's the best. That's the number one top. Everything else can get the fuck out of my face.
No, I mean,
you don't know what real seltzer is.
You know how you can tell snobbish food stuff though, is if you go on YouTube and there's a video of the production process and it's either old or it's single source and it all ends up looking like it came out of a manuscript. That like, so this is, You say that to me, and I'm like, I know I can go on YouTube and find a video of seltzer bottles being filled. Yeah.
There's several Gomberg. There's several Gomberg like quasi documentaries.
Yeah, I'm convinced that all artisanal stuff can be traced back to YouTube videos.
It's all actually It's all the whole thing is some kind of weird Ponzi scheme where they just create YouTube. They create like a fake factory. Anyhow, but so that's the top seltzer. If you've never had it, and frankly, most people haven't. And I'm not saying that to be snobbish because. I'm not trying to be snobbish.
It's a geographic thing.
You have to be in a certain place and you also have to be willing to pay. When we got it delivered, it was $20 for 10 bottles and we would get two cases at a time. Plus we'd tip our delivery guy, Ronnie, who's a staple in so we'd pay $60 every, I think we paid $120 a month for seltzer.
It doesn't shock me.
But once you have it, you understand why you would pay that
much. Does your daughter love seltzer?
She loves obsessed.
Yeah, my daughter, our kids call it bubble water.
Obsessed. She calls it seltzer because she knows the words for things. Okay.
Sure.
But maybe, you know, but then again, you came up with, you know, give your body bubbles and I didn't. So clearly you're in touch with a whole other
Let's compare
way
children.
Of thinking
that
about.
That sounds great.
You're in touch with a whole other way of thinking about how words work. And that's wonderful.
Let's post pictures of our kids on Twitter and just have people rank them.
Anyhow, listen, all children are beautiful unless they're annoying, in which case they're ugly.
They're kind of annoying.
Their souls are ugly.
40% of the time your child's annoying.
But and then, of course, the best bottled traditional seltzer, in my opinion, and you can go a couple of different ways in this, is Canada Dry Club Soda.
Strong. I'm
very, very powerful in the glass bottles. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you can get it in anything but the glass bottles. And I want to be clear, club soda and seltzer, not the same thing.
Nope.
I'm not going to get into the whole club soda versus seltzer thing, but Wikipedia. You can read about it on the internet.
Yeah,
I'm not here to do your work for you. And then I think on the spring water, which
When you talk about things like that, I flash to a Wikipedia screen with the top right image of like the club seltzer and like, the club soda. And then
I thought you were taking the Wikipedia logo.
No, that's just like the actual, like there's the page format and then there's the info box below and it's like carbonated beverage. Yeah, and then there's like a link to carbonated.
The bad picture, that's what took at their apartment of a glass of seltzer.
Yeah, and there's like a man's penis off to the left. It's taken him a while. Nobody's realized
has anybody
that
done, has anybody done the, how many hidden penises are in Wikipedia photos?
I mean, honestly, Wikipedia is almost 100% hidden penises.
We're like a fucking ideas factory. We should charge people for these shows.
Yeah, no, this is like,
this is just pure. Whole industry is being sprung up here.
No, this is
no
like
pun intended.
Watching an improv group use a Google Doc. This is really exciting.
But this is real. This is hey Apple, take note. This is real time collaboration.
Yeah,
I don't even know what that means. That's like a diss on Apple for no apparent reason.
You got to get in there.
At any rate, and then I said it's a toss up. I think Saratoga Springs makes a very strong Saratoga. Their seltzer, they're carbonated.
Huh, not sure about that one.
Very
strong.
I don't know. Very strong spring seltzer.
Okay.
And then Topo Chico would be, of course, the other in the running, I'd say, for that title.
So for you, LaCroix, nothing.
I mean, a garbage dump. I mean, it's fine if you want something that tastes like coconut. I mean, by all means. No, it's fine. We drink LaCroix at our house. I like the pamplemousse. You know, I like the. That's pretty much it. The tangerine's okay. I don't care for most of the flavors. I don't really like flavored things.
I actually, if I'm going to do flavored seltzer, I'd actually rather have like the cheap black raspberry flavor that you get at the bodega. I find that LaCroix is like going for something.
So here's the thing. There's a huge, and there's a big, I'm sure there's several trend pieces on this, but everybody's talking about how it's like Coke sales are down and everybody's drinking bottled water, you know. It is part of like the wellness trend and like the health trend.
But it's also, like, I mean, you think about what that percentage really looks like. It's like, you know, 0.001% of Coke's global sales.
Yeah, what I can say, here's what I can say without
question.
You
know, Coke doesn't perform well in the Arab world. You know why?
Too American?
No, it's a Pepsi world. It's not just because it's too American. They actually associate it with some sort of genocide. I can't remember now.
That happens.
It's bad. It's almost like Protocols of the Elders kind of level.
Oh, is it
stuff.
A Jewish thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
okay. Yeah. I did.
Yeah.
That sounds good stuff. Anyhow, we're just cruising from topic
to topic.
Just riffing.
Just riffing.
But I think the original question was Was there an original question? I don't really know. But
no,
anyhow,
we were complaining about LaCroix.
Oh, LaCroix. How did we get on the topic of LaCroix?
You were enjoying drinking seltzer.
Oh, no, he was enjoying drinking seltzer. Yeah, you were talking about how wonderful it is to have seltzer.
God, it really is good.
It's great stuff. But I worry, and I'm waiting for the Times either style piece or a really deeply reported, heavily researched piece that says that seltzer is destroying your body.
Oh, sure.
It's causing cancer.
I think it's bad for bone density.
Oh, here we go with this shit. Really, you think seltzer's bad for bone density?
That might be like let's think about a Facebook rumor.
Let's think about the logic here. You drink the carbonated water. The bubbles don't dissipate. They don't get flattened in your stomach. They somehow leak out into your bones and create holes in your bones. What's the logic with it's bad for bone density? There's no possible way that's true. Paul won't even say anything about it.
I don't have an opinion. I'm just thinking about SodaStream.
Fucking hate SodaStream.
You know, it's nice in the office, though.
I think a situation where you have to work for your seltzer is not nice. I think what's nice is to open a cooler.
Oh, no, you can get like a machine that you flip a spigot and you can drink a gallon.
Is it cold? Very cold?
Oh, it's so cold.
Oh, so it's just in the wall?
Yeah, it's real good.
Okay, an industrial strength SodaStream.
Yeah, I feel that's an essential part of any New York City enterprise.
I didn't know that those were
You don't
were
have
even...
those at the Outline?
No.
Oh, boy.
No, we're
All of your employees should raise this issue.
We're what's known as a startup.
Yeah.
Maybe you've heard.
You know, a couple thousand dollars for everyone to just feel alive.
That's going to be tough. That's going to be tough to manage.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Paul, it's great to have you back.
It's good to be here.
We wrote down a couple of topics that you wanted to discuss. We're, of course, in election season. It's another
You wanted this one.
Presidential
Let's
election.
Let's do it. Let's
Paul
go.
Paul was like, we got to talk about Hillary's brain tumor or neurological disease that I read about on Drudge.
I'm actually fascinated.
Drudge's headline today, Hillary, will she survive, was the headline.
Here's the thing, right? Like that video, first of all, everyone's been kind of after the media lately for just being garbage, which is fair. And they got that video of Hillary stumbling, and it's just ridiculous.
They can't control themselves.
No, they get that. They're just like,
the media cannot stop asking questions that don't make any sense.
No,
not understanding their.
You see that video
casually associated with
when you saw that video on YouTube, you could imagine the cable news roundtable that they were going to assemble. Right?
I mean, several people at CNN ruined their pants.
Oh yeah,
in tandem. It was like a whole room full of executives.
It's like a 13-year-old finding his uncle's hard porn stash.
It really is.
Oh my god!
It's a treat and a danger. No, I mean it's fucking disgusting. I mean it really is. Like you know. And like, there's this interview, I think it was on CNBC with
there's
Trump.
There's no empathy, really.
With Trump today, the guy interviewing was like, well, you've got a much harder campaign schedule. So, you know, it's like, really, guys? Like, what is happening?
No. Like, there's no empathy, too. Like, a lady in her late 60s faints, and everyone's like, oh, it's a conspiracy.
She definitely has several brain tumors.
But if he had twisted an ankle and still went to a campaign event, people would be like, wow, what a fucking hero. Look at him. He showed up.
I mean, I'm like, it's the weird thing about Trump. Is that like in New York, like in like coast media, it's like, okay, this guy is a diabolical piece of shit. But you saw in this Matt Lauer thing, in the rest of the world, in the media world, in this world of CNN, Trump is a relatively reasonable and viable candidate.
He's a personality.
He's just a guy. He's just a guy who wants to, you know, he's seeing what's going on out there, trying to help Americans.
It's a man with an opinion.
I mean, the dissonance and the disconnect that the media creates to get people to watch their shit. And I do mean mainstream. We are talking largely about mainstream media.
So that's really cool. That's really great.
The false, and also this kind of false equivalent.
Here's what I want to talk about before we do anything more along those lines.
You know, this is such a downer. Let's just talk about Star Wars.
God. So, no, but what happens whenever there's a major political, like, injury or vomiting or whatever, then it's like memorial t-shirts show up, PR people start going live. When George Bush vomited, someone trained him in 1992, someone trained a monkey to pretend to vomit.
This is like 1992 is ancient. I mean, there's everybody was talking about, you know, it's 9/12, right? Is that the date now?
Yeah.
Yesterday was 9/11.
Yeah.
And then people were like, imagine if you were born in 2000, you were 16 or whatever. And I'm like, whoa, you know, maybe you don't even remember a time before 9/11.
How does time work, though?
But,
you know, 92 might as well be 1892.
It's 24 years ago.
You're talking about, does anybody even remember there was another Bush?
But even back
no
then.
No one knows that, Paul.
Even back then, like a vomiting president created a whole set of responses.
Yeah, for there was like a day of news.
No, no, and then in Japan, it was like and a month then, of
well,
news.
Of course, in Japan, it was wonderful.
You know? Yeah.
It happens on your turf.
It's actually a fetish film.
What happened anyhow? What, did he get food poisoning or something?
He just wasn't feeling so good and he threw up. And then Barbara was like, here, let me help you.
Yeah. I think that was a scary moment, you know? It was...
It was just a big deal when the... I think Ronald Reagan had his colon investigated at one point.
I hope so.
It's also different when people couldn't make memes out of that, where it was like, colon on Twitter.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
Oh, if today...
A president vomiting on camera... There would be no, I mean, this is how fucking desperate that we all are.
Literally
there would
just,
be no other news for several
weeks. It would break everything. Like 4chan would go under, be done.
It'd be like, that's
Barack
it.
Barack Obama sneezes and it's the top of Reddit for 7 years.
Can you imagine?
You mean makes a hidden signal to his Kenyan Muslim brotherhood?
No, his lizard face is transforming back for a moment.
Right, I mean, imagine if Barack Obama had a, like, I mean, you know, if you hear about this colonoscopy.
Can you imagine blowing his nose in public and what would happen?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine?
And that's not just like...
He's never blown his nose in public as far as we know, has he?
Well, Donald Trump is just like walking with a fake tan and his hair is falling out.
Donald Trump is, let me tell you something about Donald Trump. He is in incredible health. He is in perfect health. He's probably the healthiest person alive.
So says his witch doctor.
He's the healthiest person on the planet.
No, I think he's doing great.
It's hard to argue with that.
He's never fallen down getting into an SUV that we've seen.
I mean, he's unafflicted by several neurological disorders that are making him unfit to lead, unlike Hillary.
I think what's bad is that we're in this zone of like all culture is now hyper-viral.
Yeah.
And I don't think this will, I think it is kind of the new normal, but it's not going to sustain. We'll hit the election and then it will kind of calm down. Like you can't.
I think it will calm down as well. And in fact, I'm betting on it.
Well, you can't sustain this.
No, I don't think this is how humans are supposed to live.
In the state of like heightened agitation every day where you're like, oh, I wonder what's going on in 538. What's going on in 538?
Yeah. No, it's I would say that that modern technology has turned what is already an excruciating cycle, the election, the presidential election cycle in America, into some kind of truly perverse.
You know what, too? Life. We saw it coming. And those, like, no one at Twitter, as far as I know, like, nothing we've ever heard or haven't reported
out. I don't think
they've
seen a lot coming at Twitter.
No, I mean, but they didn't sit there and go, like, wow, this is obviously going to be a complete disaster. Like, we need to make some product decisions.
Yeah.
We need to help people get through this year of pure,
like, we're going to
flaming
just,
pain.
We're going to reduce the noise. We're going to bring the signal up to you.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure you're not getting harassed because we know there's going to be a lot of polarizing opinions out there.
And then we know that people just really misbehave on the service, and that like non-anonymous people just get punished and like their bodily and children's they're threatened constantly by anonymous egg people. We have got to do
gotta
something
get
it about
under
it.
Control.
Because seriously, look at the cycle. We're headed towards Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. We here at Twitter have to take responsibility.
Yeah, they're like,
for
look
the
at
hundreds
the early
of millions
trends
of people.
We're already seeing. We have all this data. No, what you didn't would definitely happen as a team of engineers came in. They're like, all right, we have a very important presentation.
Yeah.
And Jack Dorsey wasn't there at this point. It was Dick Costolo, I'm sure. You know, and they're like, look, this is a tragic and epic problem that we have to take, you know, we have to deal with head on.
And somebody else is like, well, we're doing this partnership with the NFL.
You know, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but really could kill a lot of our user base. It really would be cut 100 million
users.
Yeah,
we're doing this thing with the NFL right
here's
now.
The thing.
We've promised.
We could do moments.
We could do moments.
Can we divert their attention? Well, I tweeted about this the other day. I was like, I hate to repeat my tweet.
No, please, please. Why don't you just read your Twitter? It's a good podcast.
Well, let me get my Twitter out right now.
Yeah.
No, but it was something like, you know, it's about, you know, it's like, oh, we can't deal with the harassment and the hate speech. And it's like, what about night mode? And it's like, yeah, can do. And it's like, well, night mode, it's like, but it's darker now. It's harder to see the harassment when you think about it. Anyhow, it's a fucking nightmare. Twitter hasn't helped. But luckily, Twitter is actually not even an important social network based on the user numbers we're hearing.
No, one of the ways it's going to manage all the harassment is simply by dying.
I think that, but I think it's like, you know, this election cycle is making it definitely is creating a feeling for me that it's like a place. There are places I don't want to go anymore.
Oh, without a doubt.
I don't want to put CNN on anymore. I don't want to look at Twitter.
I think the entire state of West Virginia is in there.
I think the thing is, you know, Twitter, it's a wonderful platform for speaking your mind until you see everybody speaking their mind. Yeah. And you're like, wait, this is not wonderful. This is actually horrible. It's actually fine when it's like a bunch of tech nerds who are like, what's the story with the iPhone? That's by the way I talk when I'm doing the tweets. I use that voice.
You know, remember when you used to be able to, you get in there,
you ping a Neil.
Yeah, that was the entire, no, but there was this basic attitude in life that everyone kind of pretended to share, which is just like, you know, I love everybody.
Yeah.
I'm a pretty good
guy.
No
haters. BuzzFeed, no haters.
Yeah, I get along with everybody. And now you're just like, wow, holy crap, this is bad. I can't love that person.
The truth is we have a big country. Some have argued that it shouldn't even be a country. Some have argued it should be a set of smaller countries. All at war with one another.
That or else California should break off and become a libertarian state.
I don't understand. California is the least of our problems. I mean, really.
No, I know.
Let's get right down to it.
What are our problems,
I don't worry about
PC culture, that's our problem.
Yeah, this is what Ryan just said is people who can't speak their mind. You know, we live in a country where you can't just speak your mind and say what's on your mind and what you're thinking. You know?
Yeah,
I don't want to live in that kind of country.
No. No, it's
I want to live in a country where you can say whatever you want to whomever you want. Whenever
I want
to
yell fire in every theater I go into and get respect for
people
it.
Say free speech should have limits, and I say the only limit should be if you don't want to do the national anthem. That's the only limit. If you oppose the national anthem, you can go to fucking hell. But if you want to like actually threaten somebody's life and their children, that should be protected speech.
Well, that's good speech. That's fine.
That's the freest and most important.
The most racist thing you could do is not sing a song. That's the most racist.
Let me tell you what's un-American. Not fucking putting your hand over your heart or whatever it is you do for the national anthem and saying those sacred words that omit a very important verse I'm told about extreme racism and violence.
You know, it's almost as if the entire history of America has this sort of subtext of extreme racism and violence.
You know, here's the thing. This is all upbeat stuff. But what we're really talking about is who's going to win this crazy election this
year. And let's not forget
Stein.
The Apple Watch.
Jill Stein. Oh, wait, what?
We haven't talked about iPhone 7.
We're going to talk about iPhone 7. You know what we should do? Just take a quick break. We're gonna regroup. A lot of stuff happened in the past 22 or so minutes. I don't know the exact time, but it feels like
that's almost the exact time.
And we're going to be back with more Paul Ford. If you're looking for a professional vector design app, you should take a look at Autodesk Graphic. Graphic is a full-featured app for making icons, illustrations, UI and UX design, and everything else you'd expect in a professional vector design app. Open, edit, and save raster or vector images, layered Photoshop or Illustrator files, CSS, SVG, PDF, and just about any other file format you can think of. You can open an AI file and export it to clean CSS code or a web-ready SVG with just a few clicks. It's available on your Mac, on your phone, and even on your iPads. You can design without compromise anywhere you go. This iPad app isn't a companion for the desktop version. It's fully featured design software the pros use to hand draw vector illustrations, create gorgeous logos, or mock up websites on the fly. If you have an iPad Pro and Apple Pencil, it's the vector design app you've been looking for to make your iPad Pro the device you use for design work you normally leave to your desktop. It's the last 2D design app you'll ever need, and it's available for the price of a few decent stock photos. Visit graphic.com to learn more about Autodesk Graphic. Check it out in the App Store. We're back with Paul Ford. We just had a very long and strange conversation about American politics, which I'm sure we're going to return to. But then Paul reminded me that the iPhone 7 came out.
Where have you been?
Came out last week. I was in Seattle when it was. This is legit. I really did forget. I woke up and I was working and I was like, oh, wait, they're announcing an iPhone today.
You've moved on.
I mean, I haven't moved on, but I think that there are more important stories in technology.
You know, there is. I mean, that is the reality.
There are way, way more interesting and important stories than like what is the new camera like on the iPhone?
Well, it's just, it's
like, I want to talk about Samsung too. We have to talk about Samsung.
The whole thing is kind of
this is red meat. I just want to say red meat if you've listened to any of my podcasts.
Yeah. No, I mean, so first of all, we got Johnny Ive has kind of gone off, like just way off the deep end in that he now basically recites the entire periodic table of the elements. aluminum, and then something just rotates. There's always something like. Can you imagine going to this house?
Yeah, just put the thing down. Let it alone, like, for a second.
No, can you imagine like him trying to get toast in the toaster as it spins in space? Like you go to Johnny I's house, like everyone.
You're so dizzy. Everyone's in one of those
like the lawnmower man contraptions,
and you can't pour.
Trying to get the. You know, just get that.
No, he's trying to pour box wine into one of his spinning wine glasses and it's going all over the floor.
No, I don't. It's just like, it's like in the liquid everywhere.
Aluminium.
It's all pouring and seeping. And
aluminium is like the worst children's book. It's just this very, this silver bear that won't love.
I don't give a fuck about Apple's materials at this point, unless they're like, it is the T1.
Does.
It's like, it's the T1000. You know the T1000 from Terminator 2? That's what we made the new phone out of.
That's
like,
right.
Until the thing can like morph into a face and reach out at me. Like, I
think
it's like,
at
it's
that
ceramic,
point.
It's aluminum. It's like
this glass has been blessed by seven like rabbis and priests.
I'm so disappointed.
No.
In their, in fact, I think find the material so boring.
Here's what's
at
up.
This point.
We're in a relationship with Apple where like everyone got married in 2006 and was like, this is the greatest marriage that ever happened. And now we're like 10 years in and we're like,
I got a supermodel.
Boy. Yeah.
Supermodel here.
Yeah. But she still has the
who's also super smart.
And she still has the same.
This is straight guys talking.
Right. And you're just like, wow, that's cool. But then like 5 years in, you're like, God, something's weird intestinally.
You still look good.
Yeah. And then you're like, well, look.
And you're smart.
Here's the thing. And then you have a kid.
This is I think for us, this is a bad analogy. For two married men, this is the analogy of like, oof, you're just, that marriage isn't working.
Anyway, speaking of Trump.
Here's the thing. Neither one of our wives will ever listen to this freaking thing.
I don't think I think it's definitely true that
there's no chance.
The only time Laura ever even considers listening to this is if I
she's
force her to be on an episode.
Yeah,
I'm like, do an episode, and she's like, fine, and then just checks to see if her voice sounds okay.
Now Mo would listen to this, roll her eyes, and because you and I are not, sexist at all. We only
I'm
want good things.
I'm a pretty sexist guy.
Sexist.
Anyhow, right. So the materials just are like whatever. I mean, make it out of marble. Or something crazy, you know? Wood. If Apple used wood.
I'm telling you that. You got to just admit.
Coat the wood in aluminum.
We're just married now. And it's just going to go on for another 20, 30 years. And it's never
going to. I'm out of this. I'm getting out of this relationship.
Never,
to something.
Don't you get divorced just because like it's not exciting like it used to be?
No, honestly, I'll be honest with you. There's only one reason I'm hanging on at this point.
Because it doesn't explode?
No, it's fucking iMessage is it. That's it. Messages. Everybody has message. Everybody's using it now. And it's
like
a BBM trap. It's the only reason. I'm like, there's no other reason.
I had 3 years on Android. It's fine. But I mean,
I'm getting a Note 7 as soon as they don't blow up.
It's a good metric.
I'll be honest with you. I was going to buy one. I was like, I'm going to buy one.
Does not blow up.
I was going to buy one. I was actually looking very actively for one. Couldn't find the black one in any stores. I'm like, this is crazy. And then like literally people are like, oh, my house blew up and I'm like, wow, I really legitimately dodged a bullet here.
It's an amazing feature though. Like it's from now on, not explode.
I can't help but feel a little bad for anybody who has a product. Like they're like, this is it. The ultimate expression of everything we've ever done in this space. And a week later, people are like, that burnt my house down.
Well,
and they're
Samsung,
like, oh, we're issuing a recall. And it's like, and then Apple's like, have you seen the new iPhone? It's like all at once. It's like perfect. I mean, it's almost so perfect that you just have to wonder.
You just have to wonder.
You just have to ask yourself.
It's almost like capitalism is a vast conspiracy.
I mean, let's just say Apple's a very powerful company.
Very powerful.
They've got people in a lot of places.
Imagine that supply chain, what they could do, a little dynamite.
I mean, the supply chain, they got their hands in it all over the place.
This is pure speculation.
We're not saying anything.
Not Alex Jones. Don't get it mixed up.
Well, let's just be honest. There's chemtrails. There's dynamite in the batteries. It's all messed up. There's that train. There's the subway that cars can drive under. It's all real.
Do you know that Samsung has its own ski resort?
I was told by a Samsung PR person recently on Twitter that that Samsung makes suits called Galaxy Suits, and they actually make men's suits.
It's an unbelievable company.
In Korea, here's the thing. In Korea, Samsung is the infrastructure of Korea. It is like the company in Korea. Like, they had a scandal a few years ago about the family that owns owns Samsung, and people were like burning family members in effigy in like riots. Like, factory workers were like rioting in the streets and burning like the company men in like effigy, which is not something that happens for most companies.
No, not even Enron. I don't think we ever burned them in effigy.
I think we had some guys in suits.
True.
Sitting on like a stack of money or something.
Yeah, a lot of that. Like a lot of
but
bad.
But nobody's doing a Wells Fargo riot.
Nobody cares. Yeah. Nobody's really, maybe if you got a subprime mortgage or something, I suppose it's possible.
You're having a bad day.
Anyhow. So yeah, the iPhone 7, you get anyone? Did you order one? What do you have? You have an iPhone.
I have a 6.
Yeah.
I have a 6 Plus. There's not a lot of motivation. It's nice. It's a beautiful, brilliant piece of engineering.
Hooray. I guess so. I felt nothing. I don't
care. It's just the everyday. We live in the everyday age of miracles. It's a little boring.
I mean, headphone jack, what's your feeling on that?
You know, who cares? It's a consumer product. People will buy or not buy it.
Yeah.
Bleh. I mean, I'm like, oh my God, they took away my headphone.
It's hard to spend any time complaining about it.
Everyone just got so bored of complaining. Like,
but everybody has been doing the complaining for so long now. You're like, it's like, shut the fuck up. Here's the thing.
It's the Twitter cycle.
You're the guys who are like, you know, Apple's like, they're not going to sell this phone for $500. Nobody's going to buy a $500 phone. It's like, well, you were just so stupidly wrong.
You just know they're going to have some stupid Twitter bone mow about the headphones.
It's either going to work or it isn't. And my gut tells me it's probably going to work.
It'll work. Those remote headphones that only have 5 hours of battery life.
Those are not going to work.
I do enjoy Apple's like sliding that battery life into the minute. And 5 hours of battery life.
It's tremendous.
Like, that's courage. Not good.
You only need about 5 hours on your device.
That's about right. That's as much as most people who use Apple products work.
I will say this. Adrian Jeffries, one of my editors at The Outline, have bought the new...
also an independent human being in her own right.
Also, yeah, I'm just mentioning...
But no, I mean, she has some
She
sort
is a
of,
person, yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely. she is a free person in America.
Well,
that's
true. It's tricky.
she bought one of the new the MacBooks that just has the USB-C, you know?
Yeah.
And she's got this dumb dongle that's like for, you know, for like USB and for headphones and for something else or like whatever. It's like, I looked at it today.
I gotta say, I thought we'd be post dongle by now.
We're now like generating more dongle. Yeah. I gotta tell you, I don't believe that like this move is like the first step to our wireless future. Like,
no,
I think it's the first step to our future where we have more wires because like, especially if you're a person who bought like a pretty nice pair of earbuds, like a lot of people I know buy like $200, $150 earbuds. They're like, I want audiophile quality sound from my phone. I listen to a lot of music on it. They're not going to be like, oh, you know, fuck that. I'll take these earbuds that definitely will slide out of your ear. Like,
Apple
earbuds will not stay in my ears. No. They won't put a little silicone thing on them. They refuse to just give you the little adapter so you can like stick it in your ear. I have huge ear holes.
I know.
I'm
enormous.
A big guy. I got ear holes, cavernous ear holes.
Drive a car from one side
to
the other.
You can just put your hand all the way through my head. So Apple's earbuds or whatever the fuck they're called are slipping right out of there.
Into
the sewer, into a grate.
Well,
that's what's happening. You're stepping off the curb.
I think we're in a dongle future.
You're stepping off the curb. You're listening to the new Drake Kanye collabo.
Yeah, it's a dongle future.
You know, you're bobbing your head. Your body shakes a little bit. The thing slides out of your ear hole, drops through a sewer grate, and then a New York City rat takes it.
Pizza rat, earbud rat.
Earbud rat. And then your video goes viral on Up Rocks.
But it looks gorgeous. It looks gorgeous.
Your shit goes viral on Up Rocks and Cheddar and whoever else is doing.
There was a Verge article. I don't know if you've seen that site. It's about
I've heard about it.
It's about Apple materials.
TheVerge.com.
Yeah.
Great
and
stuff.
So they had an article about how these $36 headphones were just the best headphones ever.
Which ones? Oh, yeah, I saw that article.
It
was like 1 week before the event.
Yeah.
It's like, you should buy these right now. It's like, should you?
Should you?
Even $36 would be
And then I went and Googled the headphones, and of course, there's immediately an article that's like, that is the most hyperbolic, insane article ever. And then you're down the earbud hole.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
You're down the ear
hole. The earbud hole is the huge earbud hole.
You're down the ear hole. So, anyhow, what was the truth of it?
You know, we'll never really know.
Here's the deal. Audio some things do sound bad, like almost all Beats headphones. In fact, I'll say all Beats headphones.
I've never heard anything good come out of Beats.
So they all sound real bad, but some things do sound good that aren't expensive. But then a lot of things also sound bad that are expensive.
You know, there's a funny valley in there too, where it's like if you pay probably like 150.
Funny valley?
Yeah, the funny valley.
That's like uncanny valley. I mean, it's, but yeah, but slightly it's less more abrasive.
It's got dolls and cats in it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The it's you spend like $150 on something, and you're like, all right, this is really nice.
Yeah,
this is fine. And then you can get up to like $300, and you're like, probably going too far. Yeah. And then after that, you're just an asshole.
We did coverage years ago of a high-end audio show in, I think it's in Hamburg, of course.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, that's like nothing. I mean, there are headphones that are like
$12,000
headphones.
Yeah.
You're talking about, you know, like if it's a couple $100 is nothing to the people.
No, these people are looking for something different.
To the gold-plated whatever guys. But and make no mistake, they are guys. There are
no women.
Have you ever heard from, I mean, no. I suppose, I'm not trying to be sexist, but I'm just saying, have you ever heard
from a female
audiophile?
This is something to do with dick size that women don't need to engage with.
This is a particular masculine. Yeah. Like, you never hear a woman go like, oh, they each headphone is made from a different, you know, species of terrapin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not a terrapin, of course, is a turtle.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. By the way, great Grateful Dead record, Terrapin Station, the only one that I will listen to, in fact, and I recommend it.
Cool. That's one too many.
Good old Turtle Station. Not a big Dead fan for several reasons.
I mean, who is anymore?
They're, you know, like lost in the sands of time. Like,
actually, Lee Finnegan.
Like
the headphone jack, and also George H.W. Bush.
Yeah, Lee Finnegan talks a lot about the Grateful Dead.
Lee Finnegan.
Yeah.
Don't listen to Lee Finnegan.
Another one of your employees.
It's impossible to tell if Lee Finnegan's ever
also
been.
Also another free human.
Another free regular person, but also...
No, I take everything she says exactly at face value.
Also works at the outline. Let's talk movies for a second.
All right, let's talk movies.
Is there anything else to talk about with Apple?
I mean,
this is what the fans are waiting for.
There was
for.
The watch.
Watch. Oh, right. They doubled down on the watch. Oh, I love the watch. I love when people talk about the watch. I love when people talk about how the watch was such a success because it sold. It was the second highest grossing watch after Rolex, which is like
after the Swatch.
No, it's like, but you're Apple. I mean, the scale is all fucked up. Like, yeah, you sold a bunch of these. But everybody hates them.
Yeah.
Everybody hates them. I've never met a person who likes their watch. I really haven't.
Nobody
like,
likes
you're,
the watch.
You're like getting high on Apple supply.
I mean, I've never met anyone who, I mean, I've met lots of people who are like, yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody loves it.
No.
And a lot of people hate it. I mean, I had been wearing it and then I started wearing it again and then it's so annoying. I had to take it off. It's so annoying. And I got to say, I don't miss it. I miss one feature, checking the weather on my wrist. And frankly, I don't miss it that much.
But, no.
And then Laura got one. I'm like, you should get one. I was wearing it for a few weeks. I was like, you should get one. And she hates it. She stopped wearing it, basically. Are you wearing yours, Ryan?
Yeah. I
do you love it? You can say it if you do love it.
No, I use it for fitness stuff, which is fine.
It's the same. Like,
you can use it for notifications. My boyfriend really, 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 really wants one. And he talks about how he's going to get one and blah, blah.
You always want one. That's how I feel.
That's the thing. As I said, you could use mine for a week and you won't feel that way anymore.
You always want one. Because this is how capitalism and consumerism really works, right? I want all the stuff. But then it's like, it's never, one of the things I've learned now because I've had every phone in the world, they won't make you happy. They won't make your life better.
That's really surprising. I actually always figured that material goods
one thing I always think about the new phones or the new whatever is like, oh, this is going to be, I'm going to be so much more productive and get so much more shit done. And it's really going to like, at this point, we've just hit such a parity.
But I feel like, isn't there stuff like waterproof was the one thing where I was like, well, that's would great. Save my ass a few times.
Years ago, I said they should make a waterproof phone.
Oh, that was you.
No, I'm just saying it was one of those things where it's like, they're like, no, it was like, they're doing these very impractical things.
Yeah.
Apple loves to do impractical things that they think, like, you know, the live photos feature. It's like, get the fuck out of my face with your stupid wannabe gift.
It's just all too damn much work anyway. Like, I still can't like easily put a movie on my phone that I've pirated. And you have to like go in the iTunes,
forget about that. I can't even, forget about that. It's still like a pain in the ass to download a PDF and then send it to somebody.
Okay, so PDFs, I'm convinced that a PDF is like this infinite goal for every platform, because no matter what you do, you can never...
it's okay on Android. You can. It's easy. You have a file system. You can put it somewhere it somewhere else.
But it's just then you open the PDF and try to read it, and it's like being on a fucking slip and slide.
Anything that's in PDF form shouldn't be read on a phone, because it's always full of text. It's a tiny text.
Slow, too, and it brings in the letters it's a 1200 baud. Well, I mean,
it's Apple's finally, I'm sure they're working on a way to finally break this. It's because of Adobe technology, right? PDF is Adobe?
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Am I right?
Well, PDF is but Adobe. It's a pretty good open standard at this point.
I mean, not good enough for Apple.
No, because Preview completely supports it. It's in a Apple.
It completely supports it, but don't you feel like they could have their way?
It's like JPEG. I mean, it's just not that big a deal.
Really?
Anymore. Yeah.
You think so? Well, you think Apple's working on a new PDF standard?
No, I think that's the last thing they care
ADF.
About. I think literally no one cares about
ADF.
ADF
here first.
Why do we need to have a fake version of a piece of paper? Like, why does that need to exist anymore? Why do I have fake form?
Well, I guess for a guy who doesn't handle a lot of legal documents, you don't know. But I can tell you, as a man who's done a lot of legal document signing recently, there are a lot of fucking people who need things that emulate paper.
ADF is actually short for Amiga Disk Format for Amiga emulation fans.
The best format.
Just want to just let everybody know that.
You can play all of the...
I bet you have DocuSign some shit in the last...
I fucking love DocuSign.
I DocuSign all the time, man.
They're not a sponsor, but if they want to be, I definitely will big up their product. I think...
Who owns DocuSign?
I don't know.
I think it's a...
Is it Adobe? Adobe's crushing it. They're crushing it.
Because in the PDF-based workflow world, Adobe's still the winner.
You know, maybe I said this on an earlier podcast, but I started saying crushing it as a joke because really funny people say crushing it. Like people that are hilarious to me.
You're part of the
and
process.
And now I say it.
This is a pattern,
it.
Josh. It's funny. This is a pattern
what's
with
the other
you.
Thing?
Big Bang Theory, Cruise Missile. A lot of this stuff started a little ironically.
Cruise Missile is cool. Oh, you mean my love of Tom Cruise. Definitely started ironically. Yeah, it might be a problem where I segue from irony to reality.
It happens to all of us.
Does it?
Yeah, no.
What's the last thing you liked ironically and then it became a thing you actually liked? Or did ironically?
I can't pop that out of my brain. Mm. I remember in college, I made fun of Sinatra all the time. And then I got a Sinatra album for 25 cents.
Shit's
and
good.
Then it was 8 years later, I'm just like, once I was, I mean, just out of my
Sinatra's mind. Timeless.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's said people don't know who Sinatra is, but who cares? Because, you know, onward.
Come on. Everybody knows Sinatra. Even children.
I don't think so. I think, listen, that stuff's the past.
This is a Michael Bublé world.
You know, Bublé's over. Nobody cares about Bublé. I just want to get back to politics for a second.
Oh, great.
Just hardcore Bublé diss so that I segue right back into politics. I do. One of the things we were talking about is we were joking about it. Hillary's there's this rumor that Hillary has some sort of neurological disorder or there's this thing started by, I don't know what heinous group started this rumor that Hillary has some sort of debilitating disease because they don't know what expressions look like or something.
Right.
But there is this thread that runs through all of our political discourse now, and I see it more and more, which is this very strange concept. And you know, partially it's the internet, partially it's I was thinking about this on the 9/11 anniversary. This concept of false flag and 9/11 being an inside job. And
that's
this,
Reddit's favorite.
This the Reddit. I mean, I think... you know, 4chan and
I saw the other day, I saw this really goofy screenshot from Tumblr, and it was from people complain. It was someone identifying as age kin, meaning that other kin or furries, they get to identify themselves as having being 200 years old.
Okay.
Okay. So, this person's identifying as age kin. And it was kind of joking. It's this guy bearded chubby dude. And I'm and he's my father came and told me I needed to grow up, but little did he know that I'm actually four times his age. Oh, my summer child. That's what it says.
so this is a strain of like role play?
Yeah, well, no, but you know how people believe they're dragons now? That's a thing.
Now, is that true?
Other kin, yeah.
They believe that they are in their like physical makeup.
This has been going on like, the internet. This is like 16 years old. It's not, it's.
Okay, this is relatively new to me.
No, so it's identified as a Tumblr phenomenon. It's actually much older. So wait, so I'm like, this is suspicious. So I went and looked it up and immediately found on Reddit that someone had been like, hey, let's troll Tumblr and come up with the concept of age kin and see who we can outrage.
Right.
So it's like...
So it became... Well, this is like false, the Harambe. This is like the Harambe thing where it's
false
like...
False flag operations all around. I just think where they like to point out, that community likes to point out false flags everywhere they can, but they themselves are the false flag creators.
No, no, but this is... Okay, so there's that. There's the strain of like the bullshit that comes from the internet, but there's also this strain... But that has created... It has like broken... And listen, some of it's broken because of reality, but some of it's broken... Most of it's broken. And we've broken like the sort of like sensitive region of belief in facts.
Yeah.
In like that like there are facts.
Well, it's starting to get mainstreamed in a new way.
No. Well, the alt-right being brought into the mainstream has allowed, I mean, in some ways, Hillary's use of the term alt-right has probably done more damage than good in a lot of ways. Because,
I don't know. It's actually good to name that thing, though.
I know it's good to name them, but they should be called something that sounds less like a reasonable group. They should be called like, you know, like a bunch of racists or like, you know, people who like secessionists or neo-Nazis or, I mean, neo-Nazis would be a fine.
I would just call them modern Republicans and see what happens.
Well, I mean, the thing, okay, but anyhow.
Everybody should own it.
But like partially like
Romney's children.
I mean, partially, Romney's children. I mean, Romney seems like a real reasonable, mellow guy.
You know
what's amazing?
You know who Father Coughlin was? The great, like not great, but like the famous anti-Semitic preacher from the 30s?
No, but I like the sounds of this.
Okay, so he was like a Coughlin. Coughlin is this Irish anti-Semite and priest. And he would get on the radio and he would sort of, he started kind of liberal and a big Roosevelt fan, and then he kind of slowly went like hardcore anti-Semitism as we were edging into World War II.
Okay.
So bad time for that. Yeah. And I went and listened.
You know, this Adolf guy has a few.
It's not, it's a little brown shirty. And I went and listened to him not too long ago. He's boring as hell. It's from the 30s. But honestly, he just sounds so reasonable. You're just like, oh, wow, this is what people were freaked out about this.
Yeah.
And it's just, he's just sort of like, no, let's question the Jews, which today just feels like, you know, that's normal.
I mean,
there's few subjects you can't, like, I don't know if where Alex Jones comes in on Judaism.
Jews? I don't know. Do we know? Can we get Alex Jones's position on Jews?
I gotta imagine that. See, that's the new conspiratorial stuff. Like, there's no
I've noticed there seem to be a lot of alt-right people who are like Jewish. There are some alt-right Jews that are like, and a different, not the alt-right.
Alex Jones's wife is Jewish.
Oh, okay.
And the internet calls him a Zionist shill.
Yeah, there you go. It's like in the X-Files how like there's aliens and then you're like, oh my God, there's aliens. But
Josh,
then
it's so much fucking work just to hate people.
But then you're like, oh no, wait, there's another group of aliens and they're fighting with each other and we're just caught in the crossfire.
Love is so much lazier. Why the hell can't you? I mean, it's actually just easier to just be like, yeah, I hope that guy does okay for himself. And you just literally like, well, I'll drink a little more seltzer.
Not according to Morrissey is love easier. You'll recall the great
I feel,
lyrics.
But he's a kind of
it's so easy to laugh. It's so easy to hate. It takes strength to be gentle and kind, which I do agree is true.
No, he is actually the currently the president of Mexico at this point.
I see. Morrissey's finally taking a position that he could. I mean, why not? The current president seems like a complete piece of crap based on.
I think Morrissey could win.
I'm sorry, if you have you cannot have a meeting. Why would you take a meeting with Trump if you're the president of Mexico?
Do you ever listen to death metal?
I mean,
every now and then I get a little craving, and Spotify always shows you like which city it's big in.
Yeah, what city is it big in?
It's Mexico City.
Really?
If it's
death
just
metal.
Like, yeah, if it's like you know, Dorfin's daughter, Eagle Neck, it'll be like, or whatever, Nightmare, sure. Like triple sigh.
That's
of,
interesting.
It is always Mexico City.
I've never delved into the region situation there, but I'm going to have to look into it. Anyhow, the point I got into making, this,
and I started listening. There, let me get to the, can I just, this man, just, Rotting Christ, that I saw the sign for in the Gramercy Theater, I was just like, what do they sound like?
They're called Rotting Christ?
They were all, that's I was good. Like, why are there goths everywhere? And then
you
I looked
hear,
up.
You want to hear some real crazy music? I recommend a band called Necrophagus. I believe they're called Necrophagus.
Okay.
Or Necrophagia. I believe they have an album called Mutilate the Stillborn. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Can you look that up for me? Is it Necrophagus? Just Google Mutilate the Stillborn. Because that's the kind of stuff that they get into.
Necrophage.
Is it necrophage?
I mean, the first result is torture killer. But
yeah.
Let me
yeah.
get the,
yeah
but that good. Used to be a thing, too. There was a band called... Anal Cunt. Do you
yeah,
remember
Anal
them?
Cunt. Well, Anal Cunt, yeah, I don't know where they fall on the spectrum of in terms of actual...
They're more hardcore.
Yeah, I don't think they're really... Right. They're,
I think I mean, they had a song called Big Pants, Big Loser, though. That's a good song
that's
title.
A good title. That's really good. But you've got all these like black metal bands.
Yeah. Necrophagist is another band which has
band.
Epitaph and Onset of Putrefaction.
Oh, no, that's... I think it's Onset of Putrefaction, I think, is actually...
Putrefaction.
Oh, that's... It, maybe I'm thinking of a different
they're
song.
They're really in the corpses.
Oh, my God. The track list. Let me just
I think this might be the
full body autopsy.
Okay.
To breathe in a casket.
Yeah.
Mutilate the stillborn.
There we go. That's my guys.
Intestinal incubation.
Yeah.
Culinary hyperversity.
Can we hear a little bit of you'll put a little bit of mutilate the stillborn in so everybody can get a taste. Yeah, there's a whole, they're just part, they're just the tip of the iceberg for the record.
Anyway, if you're in Mexico City, that's your soundtrack.
I wish Magnus were here right now. No offense, Ryan, but he is a metal expert.
Oh, well, there's no surprise.
Well, if you want to talk about Carly Rae Jepsen, I'm right here.
Everything about, have you heard her metal record? It's very daring.
Her new album's good, though.
I'm so sick of hearing about Carly Rae Jepsen.
She's very talented.
Well, then you're going to have to unfollow me on Twitter.
My point was, never. My point was... We are in this kind of mode where people will just, they just are like, yeah, our facts, they're really facts. Like, maybe there aren't. Maybe we don't really know.
CNN
has allowed, like, places like CNN have allowed this to blossom.
Didn't you believe in some total nonsense, like, in college, though? Like, it happens to all of us.
To a degree.
Were you raised religious?
No.
I was.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
What religion?
Mainstream Protestant Presbyterianism younger, and then we
that's
went,
not very religious.
Then
it?
We it can be, and
can
then we went evangelical, and then I went to an evangelical school for a while.
Snake handling, speaking in tongues.
No, that is the typical.
What about a little?
It's a little more subtle than that.
Oh, is it?
Is it?
Tell
yes.
me all about it, please. Do.
Yes, it is.
I want to enlighten me.
Well, if you're going evangelical, first of all, you're usually going unless you're going to a mega church, you're going to a much smaller church in the town.
Church that's, they've got the snakes.
Yeah, no, there's no snakes.
Okay.
You just might pray for different stuff. It's more strictly Bible
believing.
What do
you mean pray for different stuff? Like for all the gays to be struck down, that sort of thing?
It's never, see, this is the thing.
Not that specific?
It's never that specific.
Not Phelpsian.
No, it's not like that. It's more just sort of like,
okay.
You know, we're all sinners. God's angry. You got to kind of get that together. It's old school.
Yeah.
The other ones, the main,
got so cool.
The mainstream Protestants.
He's got the plan.
Yeah, the mainstream Protestants.
I think best about God. Sorry, I'm gonna let you make this point.
No, I don't.
You know,
what
I like best about God is how clear cut all of the everything is. It's all like he put it out there. It's like that makes sense.
Just one guy.
And if you don't understand, it's just like you don't understand God's plan, and that's okay. That's okay. You know, the whole book of Revelation, so straightforward, exactly how you would expect the end of the world to go down.
God wants whatever you want and will justify whatever it is you really want.
I also like the Jesus thing. Like, it all makes sense that he's the only son and the crucified and for your sins and now you're absolved. It all makes perfect sense.
We live
me.
Across the street from a mosque and I had to explain.
A what? A mosque?
Mosque.
Oh, okay.
I'd explain Eid, which is the Muslim holiday that is today to my, because our kids.
Yeah, what is it? Tell our listener about it.
No, I don't know what it's for.
Oh, okay.
Just that this is why everybody's dressed up.
You're like, there's a holiday.
No,
you just say to them, there's a holiday.
Listen, our kids get off for Jewish, Christian, and Muslim holidays. Like everything Abrahamic.
Oh, New York.
I know. It's pretty intense.
New York, man.
Yeah, there's nothing. Figuring out that childcare is bad.
My child
I had a good
is,
line about it on Twitter today.
My child is weakened. Where? What kind of holiday situation can I expect to get into?
You know, that was a thing. At one point, the Army had the Wiccans in the Army requested identification because you need to get like your own gravestone.
You have to get your own.
No, in Arlington, there's like, what's the Wiccan gravestone going to look like?
And you have to, they assign you a coven, I believe.
No, they do not.
I think if you're Wiccan, they give you you get set up with a coven.
There are a lot of, if you look, there's lots of PowerPoints that show, you know, there's lots of actual Wiccan
stuff.
I feel
like I'm being offensive to Wiccans right now.
They'll
and
tell
also
you.
Protestants. Listen, and also evangelicals.
If you're lucky, they'll let you know.
If it makes you feel any better, I think all religions are bullshit.
Do you?
Yes. All of them are awful and should be stopped.
Stopped.
That's my opinion on
it. So you're Jewish?
Yes. I find them annoying. No, that's my Jewish guy.
He's okay. Yeah. Does he drink seltzer?
Oh, he drinks seltzer, all right. Oh, man. And he talks about it a lot, too. He has a podcast called Tomorrow. Anyhow, so you were saying, you were talking about your evangelical upbringing. So the church is smaller.
Nah, it just looks.
What does that mean? There's fewer people there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know.
Where'd you grow up?
Outside of Philadelphia.
We're getting in. Oh, outside of Philadelphia. In Bucks County?
Chester County.
Not anywhere near where the sign stuff went down.
Sign, you mean the, oh, yeah, film, no,
Night
yeah,
Shyamalan.
No,
that's Bucks County.
Not too far from that, though.
Yeah, yeah. Manchester. Great film. One of his most underrated, in my opinion.
You really like Signs?
Deeply religious film. Highly Christian, deeply religious film.
It is.
I love Signs. God, I went to see it. I was DJing in Albuquerque, and I had a day off in between gigs. And so the promoter took me to go see a movie. We went to go see Signs, and I cried like a baby at the end of, I was like bawling. It was so emotional.
You know, it's also
traveling.
Do you remember how good he's so good at getting like true terror out of really little things. Like there's a scene where
spoiler alert. If you've never seen Signs,
there's aliens. There's a scene.
Hey,
there's a scene where one of the aliens is just like on TV.
Yeah.
Like they're watching.
Oh,
the
it's
news
so good. He comes in, he like peeks out from behind the building or something.
I'm getting goosebumps just describing
it. It's a great.
I
should say that the, now I don't know if this is true. I've definitely talked about this. I'm like a repeating machine. What's the point of even having a podcast? You just listen to the old episodes. You'll just hear these same fucking stories. There's an artist named Charlie White. Have I ever talked about Charlie White?
I don't know.
It's an artist named Charlie White, one of my favorite artists. He's a photographer. He's sort of like Gregory Crudson. Do you know Gregory Crudson?
No.
He did a series of photographs. He did a book of photographs. Well, there's a book of his photographs called Twilight. I don't know if it's a photo series or not. Very well known. They're like highly staged cinematic photography. But Charlie White did a photo series in the late 90s called In a Matter of Days. And In a Matter of Days showed like essentially like very beautiful stylized photos of like basically monsters attacking people. The photos are fucking awesome. Monsters attacking people in Los Angeles.
Sure.
And it was really like, now they look sort of like, you can see the kind of like digital and fake, but at the time they were like very,
they creeped you out,
cinematic and creepy, because they showed this kind of like expanses in LA where like someone's like fighting this weird little monster, like people waiting in a house for something to come through the door, like the husband, the father's got a gun and the kids are like up against the wall. Like, yeah, that's the picture right there. This house, by the way, is in the OJ miniseries. This house was reused. And I was like, oh my God, that's the house from Charlie White's In a Matter of Days.
Okay.
But a lot of the imagery, the alien imagery in Signs, I believe, is cribbed from In a Matter of Days from this photo series.
Interesting.
And I don't know if there's ever been any
doctoral theses.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe I could write something about it.
Might be time.
Fuck. That's an outline story.
Yeah. Anyhow. Let's talk about the outline.
Yeah. Oh, okay. And then we can talk about Postlight.
What's going on over the outline?
So, you know, we're just trying to make something new and good for people. Just want to make something that's good in the world, something that is smart and interesting, and just interesting.
How many people are working over there now?
I don't know, Baker's Dozen, something like that.
What are they doing?
They're all just working on things, checking out some, you know, kicking the tires.
When's there going to be a website? When can I look at
something? We're going to put something onto the internet pretty soon.
That's pretty exciting.
You know, in this fall.
I still want you to get that, like, the intercept problem where it takes about a year and a half to get the website up.
I don't want to have that. We're not going to have that problem. I don't want to have that problem.
Did you hire Matt Taibbi as an editor?
Taibbi's in.
Good.
Glenn Greenwald has joined.
Oh, that is great. You guys are going to have so much fun on Twitter.
Love Glenn.
I think you guys had the same view of the world.
We have a great shared worldview, which is anybody but Hillary.
Yeah.
anybody but Hillary.
Oh, this will be really.
She's not going to protect your security.
How line is it, Jill Stein's chill?
I love Jill Stein. She's great.
Jill Stein is the best.
She's so good. I mean, we got to reinvestigate 9/11 and also vaccines.
What? No Wi-Fi. 2016.
No Wi-Fi.
Oh yeah,
she thinks she's a waves. Chemtrails. Oh, chemtrails.
Stay back. No, not chemtrails. Not wacky.
Not crazy.
Let's not be ridiculous. Let's not be ridiculous, folks.
Yeah, yeah.
No. Oh, wait, Jill Stein's anti-Wi-Fi?
Yeah, because it gives you brain tumors.
Sorry, Jill Stein.
Yeah, now it's like you're over.
You're done.
You're like on the fence with the vaccine stuff.
But I'm like, you know, hey, we don't know. We don't have all the answers. This is what I'm like, fucking talking
turn
about.
Turn off my neck
gear. This is what I'm talking about. You don't understand. You don't understand. You know this. You have kids.
Yeah.
You hear this shit from people, right? The things people say about what they believe is going on.
So, you know, my wife, when it comes...
The vaccine thing is like...
This is my wife when it comes up at the playground. Oh, that's interesting. My uncle had polio. By the time he was six, he realized he would never run. Do you want your child to never be able to run?
Does she confront people?
Yeah, and then if they bring it up.
I'd be like, oh, our kids are done on the playground now. Your kids are here.
That's the thing. I'm like, hey, baby, let's go. Let's take the kids home. Yeah, let's go now. Let's go.
No one here wants cholera or whatever is about to happen.
No, I know. I know. She's just like in there. She feels the vaccine stuff pretty strongly. And for God's sake, it's so bad.
Listen, you fucking idiots.
Vaccinate your fucking kids.
It's real simple.
It's real simple.
Vaccines work. And all those other studies are lies. They fucking are. They're not real.
I don't care what your wizard told you.
Yeah. Seriously. It's like, well, my doula, and it's like, I'm sorry, your doula doesn't know about vaccines.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, I'm all for a doula, but
your man-faced dog whispered no needles in the night.
I'm sorry. It is really crazy. Yeah. And it's like, it's only getting worse. But the reason
it's breaking up Facebook. Before Trump, it was the number one destroyer of Facebook relationships.
But this is why Trump has been able to like keep going. It's like some people are like, maybe. I don't know. I guess that's true. Maybe the Mexicans are taking all our.
The reality is we don't have all the facts.
We don't know. No, it's like the fucking thing with Cruz's father being involved in the JFK assassination. His thing is like, I'm not saying it happened.
This is the weird thing, right?
Like, I just don't know if it happened, not the most true. What?
It's what's the most clickable and not the most true. And there are whole websites dedicated to talking about your body's pH alkalinity
I mean, the wellness movement and the mindfulness movement and the people who are like, don't worry about.
Oh, Josh,
don't worry about what all the doctors say. You know what's best. Josh, they're your kids.
That's the toxins talking.
I know. Right? I got to get pumped out. To get these pumped out of me. How
do I
get
a diet tape?
How do I get the toxins? Out.
You know what doesn't the best way? You know what doesn't come up anymore is colonics. That's about 15.
I need a colonic. That's what
no,
I need.
Not really in the mix anymore. Know.
Sounds like a good idea though.
Something with cayenne pepper.
One of these days, you're just like cayenne.
Cryo freeze last year. That was the thing.
Right, you used to freeze yourself. There's got to be something new, like just swift kick.
Boil yourself.
I think it's actually.
Are you ever like? I just think a colonic would be the right thing right now. It's like it's time.
I mean, pretty
much. Something's wrong.
Pretty much every day.
Yeah, right.
You know,
it makes sense.
But you know, it's you know what. I'm waiting for it next. I think swift kick in the junk.
How come somebody doesn't like a Soylent? Somebody needs to create a Soylent for colonics.
Yeah. No, it's simple.
It's like an easy single use. Yeah. You throw it out. You get the, obviously you throw it out. Yeah. You get like, it's like the kit comes.
Yeah.
It's like beautiful packaging. Like they have this toothbrush Quip, same idea. It's like an electric toothbrush Quip. I have a Quip that I was. Somebody was like, check this out. I'm an investor. Try it out. And I was like, yeah, it's a toothbrush.
We actually bought Quip.
What do you think?
I don't know. I mean,
it's okay. It's a toothbrush.
We don't have friends who are investors in Quip. So now my experience of Quip is really secondary.
I mean, it's not a friend. It was just somebody that gave it to me. It's like, here, try it out. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'll try it.
Experience my brand. No,
I'm not endorsing Quip. There are things that I don't like and I don't use it. So there are things I could say about it, but I'm not going to critique it now.
I'm okay with Quip.
I couldn't get both of the toothpastes open. Like the little plastic thing didn't.
Oh, I didn't use the toothpaste.
Come on. Well, okay. That's smart. Toothpaste is also like made in India. And it's like, I don't understand. Why do you have to make the toothpaste in India? Like, I feel just like I want my toothpaste to be made closer.
You've thought more about Quip than I have.
I have. Well, I think about this. Imagine my life where everything is a product review.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine all the things in your life that you encounter and then going like, they really could have made this fork better.
Does this ever happen in your relationships? Like, are you just like...
You mean with Laura? She's perfect. There's nothing to
critique. No, I just mean in general.
Nothing to critique.
What do you... Are you going to have annual reviews at the outline?
No fucking reviews. No, no 180s, no 360s. No,
but no, people
720, 720 reviews. We're going to get a 720 machine.
How are people going to know how they're doing? Is it because you're calling they're gonna them get, at 11 I'm gonna p.m. Say, great on job. Sunday I'm gonna screaming?
Say, great job, guys. You knocked it out of the park. Please try harder tomorrow.
Okay. My what about here, what about the other times?
Here's my editorial like, policy.
That was not good work.
Here's my editorial. Here's what I think. Work really hard, make something great. Wake up every day going like, we're gonna make something great. Work really hard to do it, and then you should go to bed feeling like disappointed in yourself and that you can do better tomorrow. And if you're not doing that, then you probably are.
So I wonder if pathologizing the other way, because I'm wired that way. I'm like, well, this is nothing.
That's just how I am. No, I'm not. Yeah. I'm not forcing it on other people. Here's how I feel. I'm just telling you my editorial.
I'm finding that tricky because I'm trying to be very careful to insulate other people from my insane sense of constant dissatisfaction.
Don't do that. Dissatisfaction is powerful.
No.
You know what's good? You know what's good is to feel like you can do better. That's a very good and healthy feeling.
Well, sure.
It's to not feel satisfied, to never, frankly, feel satisfied. Because I think that satisfaction is the mind killer.
In a good world, there's somebody helping you along on a path. You're not just there.
No, obviously, you're not demoralized. You don't want to demoralize people and be like, you guys suck. No, of course not. But I think there's a healthy amount of, and I like to think I'm fairly supportive, but there's a healthy amount of feeling like, this is great. How do you make it better? It's not like you blew it.
Well, that's a really tricky one, right? Because people.
But this is great. How can we make it better? To me, is like the right connection.
It's hard to talk about that, right? Though, because people tend to think like, "Ooh, there's things that aren't happening. I should have gotten those done." As opposed to
that's vague. I don't know what that means.
I mean that when you talk about issues and problems,
like a chore.
Yeah, well, that's when you.
Why didn't I sweep today?
Exactly.
That's not the problem.
And you're going like, well, actually, we probably need to order new brooms.
No, it's actually like we swept today and the floor is pretty clean, but I think it could be a little bit cleaner tomorrow when we sweep.
But Jesus Christ, how fucking clean does the floor have to be?
You have to strive.
You're not gonna be happy until,
I'm not explaining this. I don't think I'm explaining this very well.
The ladies are giving me a bunch of shit for it.
No, not at all. No, but here's what I think. I think that feeling totally satisfied, it's like feeling totally full or feeling totally hungry are not good feelings. You want to be somewhere in between, and it's okay.
Well, that's how you're wired.
That's how I'm wired. Yeah. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but I do think that it's very healthy to think like, okay, I'm going to make something great. I'm going to work my ass off to make something great. And then like in all likelihood, now maybe sometimes I'll feel totally like I just knocked it out of the park. But I think if you start feeling that way, you're going to blow it. I think it's like a feeling of like that you're killing it is you blowing.
I think you get a couple of those per career. Like I've had a few like, oh, I knocked that out of the park.
I've never felt that way.
I felt that way. I felt that way with What Is Code.
I mean, you feel pride. I feel really pride in the moment and like definitely like, oh, no, this
knew,
is awesome.
I knew
it. But like I'm always like in my mind, I'm always evaluating and going like, okay, here's things I would have liked to do and we didn't get to do this. I mean, we worked on something together. So I think you have some
impression. See, for me,
did you feel that coming off of me or was I helpful?
No. I mean, you were great. But I mean, there's line. You're the best. There's
that's
a
more
line.
Like it.
There's a line where things are done. And they cross that line, and then I never think about them again.
Well, being finished is not, this is not that you can't let striving for, there's no such thing as you're not going to get perfect. You're going to get better. You can get better. Sometimes you can't ever get better because like you need to finish. Finishing is very important. Like you need to go to like, hey, this thing is went from not a thing to a thing. And the thing is maybe there's like 10 things I wish it was or wish it could be, but this thing is pretty fucking good.
Right.
And it needs to be done now.
It's done.
Well, finish not perfect is what like the social media version of that is.
Is that what people say? Finish not perfect, which is fine, but I'm not like fuck it, ship it. People fuck it, ship it. People drive me fucking crazy. Because that's like, just ship it. It's like, no, ship the thing, the right thing. Ship the thing that's as close as possible to what you want it to be. Definitely ship, but don't say fuck it beforehand.
Anyway, watch Halt and Catch Fire on AMC.
No, thank you. I'm halting and catching fire as we speak. Well, you don't like my attitudes?
No, I'm just thinking. I don't know. I don't know if it's, I'm trying.
Are you fuck it, ship it? You're a fuck it, ship it guy.
No.
Okay.
No,
it's my dude right there.
No, I mean, this is the thing. It's I'm learning. I don't get as much hands on as I used to.
Get hands on.
No,
you want to do a hands on with something?
Doesn't scale.
Get this guy a gadget.
No, I get called. I'm working on like a weird art project with a big organization right now. I get called to do things like that. I consult. I help.
Weird. It's a weird, vague, humble brag.
No. But I mean, that's
a project with a big organization.
No, because it's tricky, right? Because I'm writing the program.
Is it Coca-Cola? Is it related to the genocide?
Yeah, it's definitely it's Coca-Cola Middle Eastern genocide. It's no.
You're doing a memorial to whatever genocide.
I'll tell you, I'm converting a lot of files. That's actually all I'm really doing. But I have to write some code and get some stuff worked out. And it's like that's my little pocket world, and it's fun for me.
Pocket world. That's a good idea for something.
I like to just have like I need to keep my hands in. I need to build and do things. But the organization that I'm the co-founder of, like, I don't want to interfere with people getting their work done with my crazy-ass ideas all the time.
Yeah, that's my whole premise is I'm going to interfere.
You're going to interfere constantly.
Well, I think also, look, you know, if you've got good people, and I have no doubt that you guys have hired some excellent people, then you don't have to interfere a lot. But there's a certain amount of, to me, sometimes it's like, and I even have to stop myself. I'm like, am I just tinkering to please myself, or is there something meaningful that I'm contributing?
I'm trying to anti-tinker.
Yeah, you don't want to tinker, but you do. But look, we're in such a larval, you know, we're so much stuff coming together at once.
Well,
for
you're
us.
Making, you're, yeah.
And it's also a singular thing. Like, you don't make singular, you make lots of different, I mean, Postlight does lots of different stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, all of your projects are pretty varied and you're doing at different levels.
12 separate projects going right now.
Right. Well, we have a project. Now, there's a bunch of pieces of it, but the project is like, make this thing called the outline. Mm-hmm. And the outline has a bunch of pieces that go into it, but like, ultimately, it will be presented as a single thing and a single thought to people. Mm-hmm. And so there has to be some level from me of like full scale tinkering, because otherwise.
Now, how do you keep an eye? Are you reading manuscripts? What do you do to keep an eye on what's happening?
Manuscripts.
Well, I mean, you know what I mean.
Documents. Yeah, everything. I mean, I just look at we talk about everything.
Are you in Slack?
Of course.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to admit that because that's a hack, mega hack waiting to happen.
No, I know. I read every channel on our.
I skip through the channels. I go through all the channels. I read, but I'm also in the channel. I mean, it's a very interactive, like very conversational. And by the way, I hate Slack. For the record, I find it to be one of the most frustrating from a design, from a user experience and user interface.
We use a system called Flowdoc that provides for threaded conversations. We're no longer allowed to. No one. This is a rule I set. No one is allowed to talk about Slack in Flowdoc.
Well, Flowdoc is what?
It's like Slack.
Oh, so it's a Slack competitor?
Well, it is, but not really, because Slack is so much more successful.
Do you use Slack?
No.
I'm constantly on the hunt for a competitor to Slack. You don't understand. We explored many competitors, and then finally I was like, I don't fucking have time to self-host whatever this thing is.
I don't
know
if you'd love it more. What's nice about it is it's threaded in the chat, so if you're in the, like, I don't know, some room.
Oh, you mean you can have a... That's a great idea.
Start a new conversation inside of the larger conversation.
I like that idea. Okay, actually, I'm gonna write this.
It works pretty well.
Flow. Any weird spellings there?
No, just Flowdoc.
Flowdoc. Is it self-hosted? Is it other on somebody's server?
It's theirs. It's theirs.
Okay, Ryan's telling me we got to wrap up. We've done 70 solid minutes of I don't know what.
Well, you know, Josh, it's always good to come in here and talk to you about all these important things.
We get into a real radio voice sometimes.
I can't tell.
No, I think both of us. You encourage a radio voice.
I'm very close to the microphone, and I like to just let myself, you know, a little tonality.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, no, look, Paul, this has been great and edifying and highly enjoyable.
No, I learned a lot here tonight.
I should say.
Squarespace.
No, I should say, you are now the most frequent visitor of tomorrow.
Who else is in the running?
I don't know. I mean, Michael Shane was
Michael
on twice.
Shane and me.
Ryan. Ryan was on twice. Laura was on twice, I think. You can tell like people nearby.
I know.
I'm like, we don't have a guest this week. Would you like to join us?
You're like four blocks away.
You're literally in the house with me. Can you? That has definitely happened. You know, look, it's been a chaotic time.
Busy time.
The tomorrow time has been like a lot of it in the background. I have been like, well.
Oh, yeah. You can't put entrepreneurial leadership on a schedule.
You're goddamn right you can't, Paul. Thank you for making every life choice of mine make sense.
For real. Like you can't, an editorial vision doesn't, you just don't wake up with that.
You don't wake up. Well, actually, that is usually what happens is you wake up with it. Anyhow, any Postlight plugs before we wrap up?
Check us out at https://postlight.com. We are a product studio. We do work for places like Time Inc. We do our own work. We're doing all sorts of stuff around media and new products on your phone. So We're looking for people to come work with us, and we're looking for clients. Check us out.
If you're a person who has a corporate account and is ready to get into deep and meaningful development experience,
just let us know what's bugging you.
Postlight.com. Check it out on the internet. Terrific stuff. Well, that's our show. That's Paul Ford. Thank you, Paul, so much for being here.
Josh, I love you.
I love you, too. This has been a tremendous episode. One of our best ever, I think.
You know, one day we got to all sit down and talk about Frozen.
Oh, we should do a whole
Frozen round table
episode. Well, who else would be in that?
Gina Trapani has a lot of opinions.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We were just talking about, I just had a conversation about the next Frozen, which I'm eagerly anticipating.
I don't know.
I mean, I am dying to see that universe expanded.
It's a source of relief almost.
They better not screw it up.
No, especially when Olaf goes dark.
I mean, Olaf goes on a crazy rampage. It's dark stuff. Anyhow, all right, Paul, thank you so much, and you've got to come back.
Okay, bye.
Well, that is our show for this week. We'll be back next week with more tomorrow. And as always, I wish you and your family the very best. But unfortunately, they've all been drinking a lot of seltzer, and now they're all like Mr. Glass, the villain from M. Night Shyamalan's underrated but still deeply loved Unbreakable.